stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Welcome to the show. Good morning. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773. 888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E. Jesse. My biblical question for this week. The biblical question. When was the last time you had a real conversation with a human being, another human being? When was the last time you had a real conversation with another human being? Can we get the Halloween stuff on or what? When? We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on JesseLeePeterson.com/show. JesseLeePeterson.com/show. And you can listen to the show no matter where you are and what you're doing. It doesn't matter. Where you are or what you're doing, you can still be listening to the show by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at, on your iPhone or iPad, 605-615-4131, 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, so you can podcast the show soon, but you don't have an excuse not to listen. You can't say, well, I'm making breakfast, or I'm exercising, or I'm taking fentanyl or pot, or I'm walking down the road, or I'm fighting with my husband or my wife, or whatever. You are doing all those things, you can still be listening to the show. All right, while you're cussing each other out, you still can be listening to the show. Amazing, huh? To donate and have your comments read out loud, go to Buy Me a Coffee. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk. Or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. Amazing. So, it is Thursday again. I can't believe it, folks. I really cannot believe it's Thursday again.
Can I get an amen?
And a woman, too. A woman. I cannot believe it's Thursday again. And for those who don't know, though we take all calls, Thursdays have been set aside for Bible Thumping Thursday. And the reason is because we love the Bible Thumpers. We love the Bible Thumpers. And so we try to set a day where we can have a little bit more time to try and communicate with the Bible thumpers. It's difficult, but it's worth a try. It's difficult, but it's worth a try. Because the Bible thumpers are so intellectual. They're so into their imagination about God and the Bible and Christianity. And so when you try to communicate with them, they have lost all sense of communication. And so they can make a statement about the Bible or God, and then, or question, and while you're trying to respond to the statement or the question, the Bible thumper just sitting there waiting with another Bible thumper, with another Bible thing, quote. So you don't really get a chance to communicate with them. So we decided we love the Bible thumpers. I love the Bible thumpers. So every Thursday is and will always be Bible Thumper Thursday.
Here it seems like these kids are just regurgitating Bible verses. I want to know if you really understand what it is that you are preaching.
Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words and sinful generation.
The sign outside the New Era Baptist Church in Birmingham reads, "A black vote for Trump is mental illness."
I am the daughter of two pastors.
You will emerge from that as an atheist.
President Joe Biden is only the second Catholic president.
The Pope
is
what the?
They call him the Holy Father. Ain't nothing holy about the Pope.
Why George go?
Why, God?
Holy mackerel.
You preach for us and let us, and then tell us what it is you mean.
I can't believe you people follow a man. What the? Remember, we needed you, Lord. We need you now. What a mess. A little update about the hurricane situation down in Florida. Apparently, it didn't go as bad. It wasn't good, but it wasn't as bad as they had thought it might be. They said it was like a Hurricane 5, I believe. They were predicting that in the beginning. And then, but when they first predicted, and by the time the hurricane hit Florida last night, it was a Category 3, they were saying. So it was from tornadoes and blah, blah, blah. It was still bad. Lots of water, lots of rain, lots of trees falling down, lots of lights going out and stuff like that. And they're being reported, I think, like four people, I think they said, expired. But thank God it wasn't as bad as they anticipated. And also, apparently, the governor of Florida, what's his name?
Ron DeSantis?
Ron DeSantis. Apparently, he did an amazing job preparing for whatever happened, DeSantis. So it's like they're reporting that he had it all laid out the best he could as to how to help in the situation. So that's pretty good. So thank God for the folks down there in Florida that it wasn't as bad as anticipated. A lot of people left Florida. They got out of town, which sounded like was the right thing to do. So I'm glad, and all of us are happy that it wasn't as devastated as anticipated. And then for those who aspire, may their souls rest in peace. It sounded like it was going to be a doozy. And it still wasn't pretty, but it wasn't as bad as thought. This is from Fox 4. Hurricane Milton made landfall on Florida's west coast as a Category 3 storm. the storm has already produced heavy rain, flooding, and a deadly tornado outbreak. The St. Lucie County Emergency Operations Center has confirmed at least four people were killed during Wednesday's tornado outbreak, spawned by Milton. Here's the soundbite on that from Fox 4.
Even before Hurricane Milton made landfall late Wednesday evening as a Category 3 storm near Sarasota, Florida, it already made its mark across the state. Milton's powerful outer bands spawned an extensive tornado outbreak. Video shows a large wedge touching down in central Florida. Images of tornado damage in deserted Fort Myers neighborhoods were already seen Wednesday evening.
I mean, just on the ground here, you have roofing. This probably coming from a business outside of the neighborhood, but most striking, you have this home right here. Part of the roof is missing.
Similar scenes in Lake Placid, 70 miles northeast of Fort Myers. Debris tangled in trees and homes destroyed. Milton bringing high winds and torrential rainfall. Dangerous flooding conditions continue along Florida's west coast.
But a glimmer of hope for the Tampa Bay area as a surge is certainly coming up south of here.
Tampa Bay dodging the worst of Milton's storm surge with its track headed just south.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, I'm glad that it wasn't the five, category five, that was anticipated. Amazing. So it's amazing to live in that every year. That kind of stuff tends to happen, I think. If not every year, most years. What a mess. If I heard a report where the people in Florida, they just cleaned up from the hurricane the other week. Water and their homes and businesses and things like that, and trees falling, they were cleaning up all that. And by the time they got that done, then this happened. That's hard. But thank God it wasn't as bad. I want to ask this question before. I'm really happy it wasn't as what they anticipated, folks. I want to know, it's Bible Thumper Thursday. I want to know, if your religion is working for you. We have all kind of religion, quote unquote, out there, right? Christianity, Judaism, Allahu Abba-ism, Mormonism, Catholicism, Louis Farrakhanism, atheism, all kinds of, you name them, they're there. Wood worshipism, animal worshipism, all type of religion out there. Everything you can think of is there, religion. And I was reflecting on this yesterday, and I wondered, I'm going to ask the people of the world today, is your religion working for you? And what good is it doing you? Has it done you, or is it doing you? Is your belief in God, whatever kind of God you believe in, Allah, Abba God, whatever, yourself God, your stones, because there are people who believe in those little crystals, the little rock things, isn't working for you. Really think about it. And if you could be honest about it, I would appreciate it. Is your religion working for you? Is reading the Bible in your religion working for you? It's Bible Thumping Thursday. So I was wondering. You go to church, and some religion, they go to church every night. Also, there's another religion that they don't allow to, if you leave that religion, your family can't play with you no more, and they treat you really bad. What's the name of that religion? It really punished the people.
Are you talking about Mormons?
Not Mormons.
Not Mormons. Jehovah's Witness.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Witness, they treat you horrible. You leave that religion, ain't nobody gonna play with you. They don't let your family member play with you anymore. They don't let your children play with your husband, your wife, everybody stop playing with you. And now you're tripping. Jehovah Witness. What an evil religion, right? Is that true? What an evil religion. So is your religion, is reading the Bible about God and singing and shouting and whooping and hollering, is your being a Christian or whatever religion you are, is it working for you? What good is it doing you? Is it doing you or has it done you? I just kind of want to know, is Bible Thumping Thursday? What good is believing in the Bible doing you? What good has it done you and is it done you, believing in the Bible? Or going down to the front of the church and accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Yeah, I heard that once you become a Allahu Akbar religion, you can't get out of that. It's like a game. If you get out of that, they come looking for you. What good is your religion doing for you? That's a nice Bible Thumper question. I just really want to know. And I'll tell you why I want to know as we move forward today in the show today, all right? We do it all day, but I want to know, it's Bible Thumping Thursday. Did you hear that over in Chicago? It's already a mess. It's been a mess for a long time. And unless some true, real conservatives take over Chicago, it will continue to be a mess. It's not going to get better. Chicago has been out of control for a long time. Long time. I remember when I was in my teen, and I used to go over to Gary, Indiana. And when I was staying there, I was to hear about how bad Chicago was. And it's just been that way for years. According to NBC Chicago, some members of the Chicago City Council are aiming to limit mayoral authority. They don't want the mayor to have so much authority in the future amidst a Chicago Board of Education shakeup spearheaded by Mayor Brandon Johnson. He black. What a mess, huh? Here's the story a little bit of this from NBC Chicago. Watch this.
Mayor Brandon Johnson expressed confidence in the six new appointments he's made for the Chicago School Board.
The vetting process will confirm that they're already good.
The vetting process
will just make sure that there are that whatever conflicts that could exist, that we are aware of those.
Johnson announced this new slate of appointments after the entire school board said they're resigning rather than fire CEO Pedro Martinez and approve a $300 million short-term loan. Forrest Claypool is a former CPS CEO who has memorialized his years at City Hall with a new book, The Daily Show. He weighs in.
It's a friendly takeover. You know, Mayor Johnson is the Chicago Teachers Union's mayor. He's not representing all of Chicago as he was elected to do. He's representing the interests of the political patron that brought him to the dance and put him in the mayor's office. And taxpayers are going to pay for that.
NBC5 Investigates has discovered one of the mayor's new appointments, Mitchell Johnson, was disbarred in the state of Ohio in the 1990s and in recent years had a lien placed on his house for non-payment of child support. It was later released. But there was a separate lien for non-payment of his South Holland home's water bill.
And the mayor said, oh, these people are good. What a mess. Power is all about the fake power and money. They're not about the city. They don't care about you. Isn't that amazing? But you vote them in because they're black. You vote them in because they're a woman. I saw this woman, this female today, reporting on the hurricane down in Florida. And she was a white woman, but she was talking to a black woman down in Florida who was part of the fire department, firefighter department. And then this white woman said to the black woman, after they did the report on the hurricane, and she like, well, thank you for such an amazing story. I really appreciate it. And we all know that you're the first black female firefighter in Florida. You're the first, no, female black, you're the first female firefighter in Florida. I'm like, Lord, why she had to say that now? Who cares? It's about the storm. It's not about who is the first. But I'm not surprised this woman said that because she always licking the boots of the blacks. She white. And she pretended to be such a Christian. What a sad way to live, huh? They are voting for these folks because of their color. Or because they're female. The Chicago aldermen are asking state lawmakers to draft a new legislation to approve the mayor's new board picks. But some supporters of the mayor disagree. This is from NBC Chicago.
Chicago aldermen are asking state lawmakers to draft new legislation so that the council approves the mayor's appointments to the CPS board.
Given what's going on right now with the reconstitution of the school board, I think the council needs to have a role in that approval process.
Mayor Johnson supporter, Alderman Byron Cicho Lopez, disagrees.
It is your responsibility as elected officials to respect a thing that we have a mayor has been elected democratically by the people, and certain city council members do not seem to accept that fact.
What? It's all about power. Just know that. It's all ego. It's all ego. My country is gone. It's all about color now and female. It's not about qualification, the best man. Whatever happened with may the best man win? We don't even hear that anymore, right? Are you allowed to say may the best man win? Or do you have to say, may the best it win? or this or that allow. Let me go to a first-time call out of Texas, Lamar, out of Texas. Lamar, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Yeah, Reverend, how you doing?
All the well. You can call me Jesse, Lamar.
Well, Mr. Reverend Jesse, I got a
no,
question.
No, not Mr. Reverend Jesse, just Jesse, Lamar.
Mr. Jesse, Reverend, sir, I got a question. It's very important.
Okay.
It's all on Bible Thursdays. I got a question. It's about really something that's been hovering over me, but I can't see when I look in the sky. I want to know what your opinion or your professional Reverend viewpoint on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because what I'm doing is I'm searching, and I got all the faith, and I'm looking up in the sky, and I ain't seen the sign yet.
You haven't seen the sign of what?
Of the resurrection of the Lord and Savior.
What does that mean?
Meaning that I read the Bible, I look up in the sky, and I wait the sign. But I ain't seen no sign yet, and I'm wondering if you gonna how you can guide me to see the sign better.
Are you
of the resurrection?
Are you a Christian?
Of course, I'm a Dr. River. I'm calling about Jesus' resurrection.
And so, are you a Christian?
I am a Christian.
Oh, and so you're looking up in the sky and you're waiting for Jesus to come back?
I'm looking for my actual revelation.
Oh. Well, you can stop looking and look within, and you're going to see that he has already returned, and he's living inside of you.
But that's how I found the sign to look up in the sky.
No, there's nothing except for the devil. Did no one tell
the devil?
The devil got you looking in the sky because got you looking away from God, from his son. And that's the devil got you looking in the sky.
But Dr. Reverend, in my heart, I was told by God himself to look up at the sky for my own revelation, and I'm not seeing the sign. It's been 92 days straight.
Well, you can look for the next 192 days. You're not going to find it until you look within yourself.
Well, that's why I'm calling. Maybe is it 250 days?
He's already returned.
He already returned.
He has already risen.
You mean the white savior, Donald Trump?
Well, that's a good point, too, but I happen to be talking about Christ. But you're on to something, but you don't need to look outside for him. You don't need to wait for him to return. He has already returned. When did you get that idea that you need to look for him in the sky?
From the passage that taught me the kingdom of heaven lies within. So I went looking in within myself, and then I found the sign inside myself to look up at the sky and await the sign. And so for 92 days straight, I pay attention.
Well, so the Bible told you to look to the sky?
No, Jesus told us to look within for the kingdom of heaven.
Right. So why, and you're right. Jesus told you to look within. So why are you looking to the sky?
Because inside my heart, God told me to look up, and I'm going to see a sign.
No, he didn't tell you that.
Well, then who told me that? Because that's definitely God.
Satan told you that.
Oh, hell no. Satan didn't know. Is it me?
Yes.
I need to become an Allah father. Sending me to Satan.
Yes. Satan told you to look up in the sky. God told you to look within. So look within and stay there, and you shall know God. I promise you that.
Dr. Reverend, if you had to be one other religion, what would it be if the Christian faith told you no more? You are not allowed to be a Christian. You got to go be a Allah Akbar or one of them.
I would be none.
I can't say that.
I would be none of those. I would be none of those. Christianity is the best religion. Thank you, Lamar. I got to take a break. Back in a moment. I read or heard that some Republicans are starting to pull their advertisements from Google or whomever, right? because so many conservatives are being set down, discriminated against, shadow banned, and all that kind of stuff. So conservatives are starting to fight back. It is happening to us, too. I'm just taking it one day at a time. But you can go to jlptalk.com and find all the ways to support us. You can check out rebuildingdemand.com and support our nonprofit organization. You can call 800-411-BOND, 800-411-2663. And don't forget to like, subscribe, follow, share, and Sunny. And also, we have thefallenstate.tv. Ring the bell. It's Bible Thumper Thursday. Brand new episode of The Fallen State tomorrow, Friday. If the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise. Brand new episode. I talked to Sean, and I can't think of his last name. What's his last name?
Sean Foyt.
Foyt. Sean Foyt, and Sean is a Christian missionary. I think of all the interviews I've done, discussions I've had with people on the Fallen State, I think Sean Foyt. F-A-F-E-U-C-H-T. Now, I don't know. You see tomorrow for yourself, and I may be wrong. So remember, I'm saying that I couldn't be wrong. But I think this was the worst interview I ever had. Really. Of the, how many years were you doing the Fallen State interviews?
I think since 2016.
Yeah, 2016. However so. Many years. And I could be wrong, can't y'all might listen to it and like it. You might say, well, it was good. But I honestly say it was the worst I ever had. It may be even the worst set and talk I ever had with anyone. And you'll see why tomorrow, I think. 8 years. What?
8 years.
I've been doing the Fallen State for 8 years?
Yeah, the channel started in January 2016.
What? Nah. So I may be wrong, but we'll see. What?
Worst interview.
Yeah, I think it was the worst.
There's been some bad ones.
I feel like it was almost a waste of my time and my staff time. But I could be wrong. So I could be wrong. And tomorrow, we'll see. But here is a teaser from the upcoming Fallen State tomorrow at 12 noon Pacific time.
Next time on The Fallen State.
How would one know if he or she is in a fallen state?
If you were born totally disconnected from why you were created, who you are, why you're here.
Does your wife obey you?
You are the one that sets the tone for your home.
Absolutely.
You're the climate controller.
Do you love white people?
Yes, of course I love white people.
What's wrong with the blacks?
I don't know if that's a question we should end on. That's a long conversation.
Tomorrow, Friday at 12 noon Pacific time. Check it out. And you can donate to the Fallen State right there. TheFallenState.tv/donate. TheFallenState.tv thefallenstate.tv/donate or locals. In the description there, locals.com. All right? Amazing. And check out our merch. Amazing merch. Merch that you would want to write home about. Amazing. T-shirts and mugs and hats and everything. All good. RebuildingTheMan.com/store. Super chat. Super chats.
California Taco bought a coffee. Jesse, what is wrong with the Browns? They keep voting for open borders when their communities are usually the ones directly impacted. Adding more people with no skills, low education, that will need tax money for years to areas with already low funding.
Amazing. They love their misery. They love their pain. Thank you. Amazing.
Five coffees from Christine from Cali. Hi, Jesse. What are your thoughts on women moving out and living on their own today in today's world? I'm traditional. Always believed it's safer for women to wait till they get married to move out. But after waking up and hearing your message, it's really difficult living with my mom. She's overbearing, lacks boundaries. I'm not angry or judging her. I understand she just can't help herself. But when something happens, I can't help but be annoyed. I'm in my 20s.
And you're right. In the good old days when boys were boys, men were men, the woman would wait until her husband came and got her, right? And it was safer. She was supposed to be protected by the father in the home. And once she get back, leave home, she's protected by her husband. But nowadays, nearly all men, not all, but most, are mama's boys, so you can't wait on that anymore. So what I recommend, do what you want, of course. You're responsible for your own life. That you start working on yourself. It sounds like you are, too. And forgive your mother, forgive your father, so you can start living by the light. And once you move out, and if you should move out, you will be protected by the light, by the father. Because you can't wait for a man. You're going to be waiting the rest of your life up in there. So you got to just be careful where you live and watch your back and blah, blah, blah. So forgive your mother, and you don't have to hang around her, all right? I wish you well. Thank you.
She's concerned about stressing out her dad, who's in his 70s, and her boyfriend. They both don't want her to move out on her own and be in a dangerous area.
I totally understand them.
Yeah.
But I totally understand that. Your father is concerned, especially when it's been so... Human nature is so evil today, and so much stuff is happening. I totally understand it. But it's a decision that you have to make. You need to see what's best for you. And though I understand the parents' concern, you got to see what's best for you. Again, I wish you well. You can't be concerned by somebody else's stresses, though. Their emotions. You're not responsible for someone else's emotions. Since emotions are not necessary, and you can't be concerned about the way someone else is going to feel about it. You got to live your life. I wish you well. Let me know how it goes. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine.
Yeah.
Devin on Cash App, feel the evil spirits and die from them.
That's right. You got to live with it. You got to be aware of it. And do nothing about it. You got to surrender. Surrender it all. And then you'll overcome it. Isn't that amazing? Thank you.
A pithier coffee from Popcorn's Thump Keg about that white gang story. You ask these questions to guests, Jesse. So I'll ask you, what does what black people do have anything to do with what white people committing crime and getting arrested? Why bring that up?
What?
What does what black people do have to do with it? White people committing crime and getting arrested? Why bring up black people?
I don't understand that question.
You know how they arrested the Aryan Brotherhood members up in San Fernando Valley?
Right,
over there?
Right.
And you brought up the black crime.
Oh, I see what you're saying. What happened is, the point is, that there is an attack upon white people, an unfair, unjust attack, right? And I noticed that over the years, when non-black people commit crimes, you hardly hear about it now. No bail bond, no nothing. I mean, non-white people. Non-white people commit crimes. You hardly hear about it. But if a white person look like they want to do something, think about committing a crime. They got the FBI, the DIA, the FAA, and the HAP, everybody on them. And then they hold the press conference, talk about how proud they was. They got the area, brother. It's just, in the white man's own country, it doesn't seem right to me. So that's why I said that this it was more about the attack on white people.
He said, how come you bring up blacks when we talk about whites going to jail? How is that going to help the whites?
Well, I just made the point. I just explained more. I was talking about one particular issue.
Right.
And that is the attack upon white people.
Yeah.
Did that answer that?
It does.
Okay.
The government, all that stuff. The point is the government. The point is not the white criminals.
It's about the attack on white people. A serious attack in their own country.
Yeah, the media makes a big old deal about it and everything.
Yeah.
Thank you, Popcorn Stump Cake.
Thank you, Popcorn Stump Cake. Right?
Close enough. Popcorn's Thump Keg.
Oh, keg.
Yep.
Thank you, Popcorn Stump.
Thump.
What?
Thump.
Thump. Keg.
There you got it.
Nice. Thank you.
Elias with a coffee. Jesse, if cackling Kamala is really black, I challenge her to say the N-word on national television. What's wrong with the blacks?
That's an amazing challenge. We'll see what happens. Thank you.
Three coffees from Sam Lemons. Biblical question.
When was the last time you had a real conversation with another human being?
Just last night with my father, thanks to the silent prayer. Before the silent prayer, conversations are usually one-sided or for ego boosting. My dad would have his way leading the conversation with negative talk, jokes. I would laugh at the jokes even if it ain't funny. Would agree even if I didn't agree. It was as if I was scared to disagree or not laugh at his unfunny jokes. Now he appreciates and looks forward to my responses and comments. Says things like, boy, I'm glad you said that.
Nice.
Nice.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you.
Love.
And I'll put my 2 cents in on Sunday. If the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise. Thank you.
Now he calls me too much, but I don't mind. Keep up the good work, team.
Right on. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam.
Yeah.
And shout out to the contributors over on the DLive crew. And thank you, guys. I do believe that is all for now.
Amazing. Thank you. Thank you for your support. I appreciate it. Let me go to Jaden out of California. Jaden, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
What's up, Jesse?
All is well.
I just want to follow up last week on Bible Thumper Thursday. You said Jesus did not die in the way that I think he died. Do you remember that?
No, or never ask a black man if he remembers.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, you did say that. And I was just calling back to see, what did you mean when you say he didn't die the way I think he died?
I don't know, because I don't remember the conversation.
It was about keep your thoughts on heaven and how Jesus is like king, and you disagreed. And I asked you, is the death literal? And you said, yeah, it's literal. You said if he didn't die, I'd be even more in hell than I am now. And then at the end you said, you said that he didn't die the way that, you know, I think he died.
Nice.
So what do you mean by that?
I don't remember the conversation, Jaden.
So how did he die? Do you know that?
How did Jesus die?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you said Jesus never died. It was his ego.
How do you think he died?
He got nailed to the cross.
And how do you think he died? Oh, you mean like, so you mean like he died by getting nailed to the cross?
His physical body died, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he did. His physical body died when it was nailed to the cross. And what made you realize that?
Because
you saw him on the cross.
His heart was dead.
Right.
Right.
All right. Thank you, man. Amazing.
All right.
Jada, are you a Christian?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And what good has it done you to be a Christian?
Well, honestly, if I'm being like 100% honest, I'm not going to say it did me no good, because what it did for me was it made me have faith in God. So I literally will just start doing, sometimes I'll be like swimming and I'll be getting pulled down in the river and I'll just have no fear because I know God's not going to let me die. So I'll just keep swimming and I'll be safe, right? It's stuff like that. I have like faith.
What good has it done you to be a Christian?
Yeah, so it gave me faith that things are going to end up like all right, that God is like controlling everything for my good.
And how do you know you have faith?
Because I go through situations I would never when I was an atheist, and I have no fear.
Okay. Oh, amazing. Thank you, Jay.
Can I ask you a quick question, though?
Yes.
The only time I ever do have fear, it only started recently, and it's when I go outside and I look at it usually just happens when I'm on a bridge, and it feels like I'm going to die. Like, every time I go on a bridge without, like, fail, it feels like I'm going to die. Like, my heart stops. I can't breathe. It feels like I'm dying. I can barely move. I can barely walk on the bridge. I don't know why.
So you do? I thought you said you don't have fear. Why don't you use your faith and walk across the bridge?
It just popped up. It just popped up. It's crazy.
What just popped up?
The fear, like, a week ago just started. Oh.
And why don't you use your faith and walk across the bridge without the fear?
I do. That's the only way I get through it. I'm just like, all right, God, don't let me die. And I just keep walking. But it doesn't go away.
And your question for me about that is what?
Why do you think that's happening? How do I, like, fix it?
Because you don't know God.
That's interesting. Probably got to do more of the silent prayer rant.
You got to work on yourself, because anyone that knows God does not have fear, period.
I would agree with that. But this is more like, it's not like a fear of like facing my mama, like that kind of fear. It's like a deep, like spiritual fear of like, I feel like I'm in hell when I'm on that bridge.
Well, if you knew God, you wouldn't have that fear.
I feel like God's giving me the fear, and I know that's wrong, but that's just what I think, and I don't know how to...
See, God, you thinking that. God does not give you a spirit of fear. That comes from your God, Satan.
Right. I know these things intellectually, but I just can't see them, and that's the problem, I guess.
Are you doing the silent prayer?
Yeah.
Every morning, every night?
No, not every morning, every night.
And how do you expect to be with God at all times if you don't do it?
Well, my problem is that I keep, not to be crude, but I keep fapping. I don't know if you know what that is, but, you know, unwholesome stuff. And I'm thinking that if I just go a week without doing it, then I'll be conscious enough to where I can do the silent prayer and it'll have an effect.
Well, I don't know what you mean by fapping, but fapping has nothing to do. Fapping has nothing. But why don't you do the silent prayer and that?
Because when I do the silent prayer after like a day or two after doing it, it just doesn't do anything. But when I wait a week and I do it, I can finally see.
So you got your mind, man.
I know. It's really bad, but
So you don't believe in God then?
No, I believe in God.
But how can you believe in God and you're so connected to the hell in your mind?
Because what does it mean to believe in God?
No, you should. That's a question for you.
All right, I can give you the answer. My answer is I just know that God's going to, in the end, everything's going to work out okay.
But if you know that, why are you so one with evil?
Well, I know it's not me that's afraid. That's the main difference that being a Christian has done. I know that the fear, like, isn't mine.
But
I am afraid.
If you have all this faith in God, why are you so connected? Why are you so one with evil?
I've been asking myself that for a while. I don't even know. Because I do just keep doing evil, and it's like I know God is real. He's right there watching me, and I just...
But you don't know that.
Can I say
you believe intellectually about that, and so believing intellectually about it and then quoting what you hear is not knowing God at all.
No,
intellectual quoting.
I didn't hear quoting about the truth.
Quoting the truth doesn't mean that you know God at all.
I don't quote the truth from like the Bible or anything.
But you knew, you said, I have faith and I can. And
but
you
that's
know.
Not. I didn't get that from the Bible. I was an atheist before I became a Christian. I only became a Christian because God answered my prayers and He was there for me. I didn't read the Bible and become a Christian. Thankfully, otherwise I would have become a Bible thumper.
So if God was there for you, why do you still have fear and you're so connected with your imagination and you won't be still and know Him?
Because I absolutely love, I love the demons that have possessed me.
So then
I'm in love with them.
Right. And so you don't know God and you don't love God.
I don't know God, but I believe in God.
No, you don't. You believe about God.
It's like how I don't have to know
but
President
Jada,
Trump, but I can
Jada,
believe he'll Jada, do a good job.
Jada, how can you believe in God and love your hell?
Because believing is different from knowing God.
All
it's
right.
Like President Trump, right? You believe he's going to do a good job for the country, right? But you don't have to know him personally to know that, right? To believe that.
Amazing. Thank you, Jaden. I appreciate it, man.
All right.
Thank
buddy. You, Jesse.
Okay. Amazing. What the? Very, very interesting. Let me go to Michael, first time caller out of Ohio. Michael, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Jesse. How are you?
All is well, Michael.
Nice. Hey, question for you. So the election voting day is coming up. I'm getting kind of nervous. you know, I live in Ohio. Obviously, there's people on both sides of the fence here. So some people that I agree with, some that I strongly disagree with politically. And I don't know if this question's too redundant for you, but I was curious, what do you think the odds are that Trump is going to be winning the election as opposed to Kamala or vice versa?
I really don't know at all, so I'm just waiting to see. Just wait and see. And if you wait and see, you wouldn't worry about it. You wouldn't be uncomfortable about what might or might not happen. Just have a wait and see. Don't get into your imagination about it at all. Just have a wait and see.
It's hard to do, but I agree with you. It's just hard to do because I think that, you know, it's going to be pretty destructive, in my opinion, if she gets in the office.
The way you do that is by stop thinking all that. Get away from thinking. All thoughts are all lies all the time. And so you're into thinking, and that makes it hard for you to wait and see. Just have a wait and see. You've done your best. You go out and vote, and you encourage others to vote. And just have a way to see by staying away from the thoughts about it.
Okay. I just really hope she doesn't win.
Amazing. I don't want her to win, that's for sure.
Someone needs to tell her she's up.
Beta!
Beta woman! Thank you, Jesse.
All right, buddy. Back in a moment. The hate news, not the fake news. Two more hours to go.
Amazing. I highly recommend you get them. 7 Guaranteed Steps to Spiritual, Family, and Financial Success Guide. Even if you're not starting a business, but you have a job, or you're on welfare, it can help you if you do. Be doers of the word, all right? From rage to responsibility. From rage. That's what I write about in the first chapter, especially how I overcame. Scam. How the black leadership exploits black Americans. They are using them. The blacks are too willing to be used. And then my last book, The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood. They are all amazing books, and they are helpful. Go to RebuildingTheMan.com if you want an autographed copy, or call 800-411-2663.
A whole lot of mess going on in the world. This is the end of hour one of Bible Thumper Thursday, starting off with a bang. It is Thursday, October 10th, AD, 2024. Men's forum was last week. Nothing this week. I believe if all things go well, women's forum will be next week. Cool. You can call in. There is one line open during Hake News, Not Fake News, to get on hold, to get on air with JLP, 1-888-775-3773. And by the way, it is free using Skype from overseas. Just use the dial pad. There's like a dial pad option in the Skype app or wherever. 1-888-775-3773. It's toll free. You don't have to pay for any account or anything. Anyways, it is Hake News, Not Fake News. Commie and Nonsense Network, CNN reports hospitals are rationing IV fluids and postponing some surgeries as the national supply chain reels from severe disruptions triggered by back-to-back hurricanes. The federal government is now considering alternative manufacturing sites and temporary imports to address the shortage of critical fluids. Speaking of hurricanes, officials in Florida will assess the damage to their cities today as Hurricane Milton sweeps across the state. Milton made landfall Wednesday night, last night, near Siesta Key, Florida, as a dangerous Category 3 hurricane storm. Category 3 storm, I guess. I don't know if it's whatever. Weakening to a Category 1 later, according to the National Hurricane Center. Storm has dumped up to 18 inches of rain in the Tampa Bay area and brought flash flooding to St. Petersburg, not to be confused with Russia, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, Venice, all in Florida, not to be confused with Los Angeles or Italy or wherever. And other communities, meanwhile, more than 3 million homes and businesses across Florida without power today, according to poweroutage.us. Outages will only keep ticking upward as Milton's far-reaching winds push through central Florida and the state's east coast. Cities like Lakeland, Florida, Kissimmee, Orlando, and Cape Canaveral are all in the forecasted path. So we wish you guys well. A solar storm, a severe geomagnetic storm could cause colorful auroras over Northern California and Alabama today, by the way. Kind of odd. Northern California and Alabama? Those are odd two different places. Due to a powerful solar flare and coronal mass ejection released from the sun, according to the National Weather Service's Space Weather Prediction Center. The solar storm, classified as a level 4 on a scale of 1 to 5, could disrupt communications and satellite operations, said officials. As a result, the center has notified FEMA and the North American power grid and satellite operators to prepare for potential outages, especially given the amount of relief underway for Hurricane Milton. Storms expected to reach Earth between early morning and 12 noon Eastern time today, with the potential to last through Friday. Interesting, huh? Yeah, they literally said Northern California and Alabama. Cool. And peace in the Middle East. Crooked Joe Biden held a direct 30-minute phone call with Israeli Prime Minister based Benjamin Bibi Netanyahu. I'm holding up my strong arm. On Wednesday, their first conversation in almost 2 months. They discussed Israel's planned response to an Iranian ballistic missile attack last week. Remember that? But the White House, black on the inside, gave no details on the talks. The two leaders, one of them is a leader, one of them is not, went 49 days without speaking amid rapidly escalating tensions in the Middle East, a sign of how fraught, liberal word, they love that word, the relationship has become and how far apart their objectives are in the region. Pressure is also building on base Bibi Benjamin Netanyahu to urgently address, they split their infinitive, the catastrophic conditions in Gaza. It's a mess. The United Nations involved. Get the United Nations out of there. I'm James Hake. Now back to JLP. Hour two. ¶¶
have to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth, instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Welcome to the second hour of the show today. What the? You can get involved by calling 888-775-3773. 888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E, Jesse. I'm just now reading what Dare wrote me. And, my producer, he sent me a note. I'm just not seeing that. Anyway, where was I? My biblical question. When was the last time you had a real conversation with another human being? When was the last time you had a real conversation with another human being? When? If you're busy out and about, you can listen to the show no matter what you're doing. Laying up at a beach, fighting in the war with Israel, or even fighting in that war with the Allah or Abba people against Israel. Buying some fentanyl, buying some pot, getting high, overcoming being high, you can be listening to the show by calling the listen line on Talk Stream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to Buy Me a Coffee. To donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Or Bond JLP Cash App. So, Jay, how did I ask that question? What good has your religion?
Is your religion working for you?
Oh, yeah. It is Thursday. And every Thursday is Bible Thumper Thursday.
All right, brother. Are you ready? He's drunk as a badger.
He's drunk as a badger.
Go ahead. Let that Holy Ghost language come up out of you. Go ahead.
What a fire. Dun, dun, dun. Fire. So I ask in the first hour, is your religion working for you? What good is it doing you? Whether you're Christian, Allahu Abba, atheism, Judaism, what's the name of that mean religion?
Jehovah.
Jehovah Witness, Mormon. Whatever religion you are part of, what good is it working for you? What good is it doing for you? Before I go back to the phones, I've said for a while now, because our borders are wide open and nobody cares except Trump, our government is, it's like they're intentionally, deliberately setting us up for destruction, to bring on fear, to get a control of us all. They have left the borders wide open and literally invited people from around the world. Come on in. We'll give you a free cell phone. We'll give you free houses. We'll give you free everything, free education. Kamala Harris even wants you to get free sex changes. And it's no wonder that, according to the report, there are people in our country who literally want to kill us. Are you surprised? And our government don't care. Believe me, they do not care. Oh, they'll go on TV and say all the right words that strokes your ego and make you think they care. But they don't. They care about money and power only. They only care about themselves. They don't care about you or anyone else. Fox is reporting that the U.S. Department of Justice has arrested this Alau Abba guy who allegedly planned an attack on Election Day in the name of the Islamic State group. Watch this from Fox.
So the FBI has been warning that an open southern border and the flow of illegal aliens into the U.S. means potential terrorists are entering the country. So the Justice Department says an Afghan citizen living in Oklahoma has been charged with plotting a terrorist attack on Election Day for ISIS. 27-year-old Nasir Tawhidi obtained weapons and ammunition to launch this attack. He arrived in the U.S. in September 2021, just days after the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. The DOJ saying, quote, Tawhidi allegedly indicated that his attack was planned for Election Day, and in a post-arrest interview, Tawhidi allegedly confirmed that the attack was planned for Election Day, targeting large gatherings of people during which he and the juvenile were expected to die as martyrs.
These people are in our country now. Thank you, government. Thank you, American government. They don't care. If they cared, they would have shut the border, completed the job that Donald Trump started, the Great White Hope. They would have completed the fence around the wall and kept the rules and regulations in that Donald Trump gave them. They did not. They erased those right away. It's so possible. It is so possible. May God have mercy on our country. The government don't care about you, and you don't care either because you still vote in the same government. Just because they made you feel good. They made you smile. They tell you that it's okay to kill the man's babies in the womb and call it abortion. Call it your body. And you smile and you vote for them. While terrorists lurks in the neighborhood. You get the government that you vote for. You get what you deserve. What you put out come back at you. Let me go to Carrie out of Virginia. Carrie, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning. Hello.
Hello.
It's me. I was wondering if we could get together to go over everything. Yes, Carrie.
So, yeah, I called to answer a question about what is your religion doing for me?
Yeah, are you a Christian?
I am.
And how long have you been a Christian?
So I was raised Catholic, and then I dropped pretty much, once I hit college, like a lot of people that are raised Catholic in my era, kind of adopted a new religion of secularism, shall we call it. and I recently reconverted back to the Catholic Church.
And what is your religion doing for you? What good is it doing for you?
Well, since I've come back and kind of reestablished my relationship with my religion as it should have been from the beginning, it has taught me, the reason I went back was really my awareness of evil in the world and the reality of the devil. And the Catholic Church has equipped me with tools to fight the devil, well, recognize evil, because it's everywhere, navigate around it and through it when necessary, and also to handle the suffering that goes along with life. So many religions don't want to talk about suffering, and secularism is definitely designed to make you feel good, but the Catholic Church is, in my experience in it now, is one that tells you that suffering is necessary and you have to, you know, live through it, carry your cross, and that's how you'll find God.
And how has the Catholic religion taught you to navigate around evil?
Well, the first point is recognizing it and recognizing the tricks that the devil does. And I think you've talked about...
I recognize what now?
Recognize the devil as he manifests in the world.
And what does the devil... You recognize the devil?
I see the devil and recognize the devil, yes.
And what does the devil look like?
Well, the devil lies, as we all know, and often appears inverted as something that looks good, smells good, and might even taste good, but is evil.
What does the devil look like? When you recognize the devil, where do you see him? Where do you recognize him? Where is he?
He's in people. He's in media. And he's, I guess the easiest thing is I recognize him as fake, as not true, not good, and lying.
And so how do you navigate around evil?
Well, avoid people that you get an intuitive sense that this is bad, this is evil, or don't engage, or don't play along with it. Don't fight it. But awareness is the number one thing. Don't play with it, and don't pretend that it's good when it's not.
And so, what good has your religion done for you?
It's brought me closer to God and brought me away, protected me against the evil in the world and in people, helped me to recognize that suffering is part of life, and to avoid the secular religion of...
And when you say suffering is a part of life, how is suffering a part of life?
So, you talk, for example, about going having a difficult conversation with your mother, and a lot of people want to avoid that and avoid it for decades. And really, it's going to be hard. You're going to suffer during, but afterwards, you will experience spiritual growth, monumental from it, and that is necessary. So, avoiding of pain and suffering, I think, is one of the most common spiritual traps.
But your Catholic religion don't teach you to go and forgive your mother?
No. It does teach you to forgive, though. And forgiving your mother
is... It tells you to forgive, but it doesn't tell you how.
No. No, I think, that's true.
And you said that your Catholic religion brought you closer to God?
Yes.
And how do you know you're closer? What do you mean by that? How do you know you're closer to God?
I feel closer to God. I'm able to, so it's through prayer life. Prayer life, if you're not used to praying, it starts in the Catholic Church. It starts, with maybe rote prayers and things like that. But once you get into it, you become, into a deep prayer state. and prayers get answered, or at least you are able to, you become stronger from them. And often you do see signs that, you know, you're doing the right thing.
But how do you know you're closer to God?
Because you feel spiritually closer to God, as opposed to by yourself, suffering or lost.
And what does spiritual feeling feel like?
It's hard to describe if you've never experienced it, but it feels true. It feels satisfying, and it feels complete.
And what does all that feel like?
Like you're not missing something anymore, or you're not looking for it in a person or something in the world.
But why do you call that spiritual when God is not into feelings at all?
Well, like I said, it's hard to describe, and of the words we have in English, feeling is the one. I'm not saying emotional, I'm just saying more of an existential experience. So I'm calling it feeling, but it's spiritual. So it's different than the other category of emotions.
Amazing. And one last thing that I got to run here. Do you see the hell inside of you?
Oh, yes.
And so what does the hell inside of you look like?
Well, I haven't been there in a while, but I'll tell you a secret. I came on your show. I came to church not so many months ago, and you looked at me and you said, "You've got hell in you." And you said, "You have 880 demons," because I asked you how many I had. And I'm happy to say I think I'm down into the double digits, and I appreciate you very much for being honest with me.
And what is it like knowing that you have so many evil spirits inside of you?
Well, at the time, it was a horrible experience, and it was a very large knowledge that I had demons in me and spiritual oppression, spiritual warfare, and it was a feeling of being stuck. As you describe, it was a feeling of even, you know, hell on earth, and it's terrible. And then when you start to find your path and grow out of it, you look back and you remember it was terrible, but you can't really relate to it anymore. And so, but then you get clues of you never want to go back there.
So you went and forgave your mother and father?
I did, especially my father, who had passed away quite some time ago. I forgave him, and I didn't even know that I needed to. But
and did you forgive your mother?
Yes.
And what did you say to her?
She's dead too. No. I said I forgive you for stealing me and my brother from my father, and pretending you were doing a good thing by doing it.
What did she say?
She was quiet. She didn't get mad. She just said, "Oh dear," which is what people from her era said.
Amazing. Well, good to hear from you, Carrie. So are you doing the silent prayer, working on yourself now?
Absolutely. Lots of prayer.
When you say lots of prayer, what do you mean by that?
Well, I'm Catholic now, so I do Catholic prayer. Now, silent prayer is very important. So, you know, it's all integrated. So in Catholicism, silent prayer is very important, but we do direct it towards, you know, God, Jesus.
But then why are you doing the Catholic prayer? That's a waste of time.
Well, not if you're Catholic. It's
a totally waste of time. Why do you think the Catholic people are miserable?
It's part of suffering.
So you mean that doesn't make sense? You're doing the Hail Mary and all that?
Absolutely.
But why are you wishing Mary when you should not be doing that?
So I don't know about worship, but Catholics do pray to Mary.
For what? Why?
Because it works.
No, how does praying to Mary work?
Well, in the religion, you know, Mary has a certain role, and especially as a woman, I think. So it's complicated.
God has never told you to pray to Mary. Why are you listening to some dumb priest or preacher, whatever they call themselves? What do they call them, preachers in the Catholic Church?
We call them priests.
Why are you listening to some dumb priest telling you to pray to Mary?
Well, there are lots of priests. You could find one that says one thing. You could find one that says another thing.
But why are you listening to some dumb priest telling you to pray to Mary?
Well, it's
Mary can't help you.
Well, maybe she does sometimes.
No, she can't, period.
Well, I mean, Mary or no Mary, I know a lot. That's one of the
Mary things. Didn't even know who Jesus was until after he died. She didn't know who he was.
Well, the angel Gabriel appeared to her and said, you know, Hail Mary, full of grace. You're about to have a son.
That's why you're praying to Mary?
No, it's not why.
What? No. One last. Tell me why you're praying to Mary real fast.
Because she is a good woman, a perfect woman, and someone who that women, many women in the Catholic Church want to emulate. And so you can ask
Tell the women they're dummies. They're only supposed to follow God, not Mary, not Mary's sister, not Mary's brother, but Mary and Mary alone. I mean, God and God alone.
So in the Catholic Church, I mean, I know you like to talk about Eve a lot, but in the Catholic Church, it's believed that Mary was the new woman and kind of got rid of Eve as our prototype.
Carrie, why are you following that? How long will you follow that?
You have to.
The only thing you're going to get from that is two hoops and a holler from hell. That is insane, Mary. I mean, Carrie.
Uh-huh.
That's insanity.
Well, it's religion. It's religion insanity.
So you want religion. You're doing it for religion, not to be free. You're doing it for religion.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you don't want to be free. You just want to be religious.
I was free before.
Before what?
Before I came back to the church. I was free.
Well, why you go back to the church if you were free?
Well, because, I mean, it's the paradox of freedom is there's nothing we fight more for and there's nothing we run away from faster. So, I mean, you can look at what's going on in our country now and say the same thing. Why are people? So,
Carrie, let me tell you this that I got to run. You can pray to Mary until the cows come home. You can get up and down on your knees for the rest of your life and you're still going to be miserable. Mary cannot, will not, ain't not, is not going to do anything for you. Doing all those, going around that room and doing those little cross things and Hail Mary full of grace is not going to do anything but build you, your ego, and keep you in hell.
Well, I mean, I know.
But do what you want, though. Stay with it if you want to. But it's not going to do anything good for you but make you feel good. And feeling good is not knowing God.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Call me again, Carrie. Amazing.
All right. Thanks, Jesse. You have a good day.
You're welcome. Amazing. 888-77-JESSE. Let me go to Josh out of Georgia. Georgia, on my mind, Josh. Welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, what's going on, Jesse?
You got it. Welcome to the show.
Yep. All right, I was calling for the biblical question.
When was the last time you had a real conversation with another human being?
It would seem like when I call you and Hake and Joelle and Nick is about the only time I have real conversations.
And what do you consider a real conversation? What do you call a real conversation?
A conversation that can help me, grow or see something I didn't see before.
amazing.
Yeah.
I want to respond, but I got to put my wait until Sunday to put my two cents in. But go ahead. What are you about to say?
Yeah, but it could be an illusion, too, because it kind of does make me feel good.
What could be an illusion?
That is a real conversation.
So you're not even sure about that?
Not 100%, no.
So you're not sure about the conversation with me, Hake, and Joella, and all the guys? You're not sure if those are real conversations? Are you saying that?
I'm not 100% sure of anything, man.
So you cannot tell when you're having a real conversation or not with a human being?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
I mean, it's complicated, man, because...
What's complicated about that?
The thoughts lie to you and make you think you're having a real conversation when it's actually just building your ego sometimes. Sometimes that happens.
When will you stop, Josh? When will you stop allowing the thoughts to deceive you? You're allowing the thoughts to deceive you about everything. And you've been doing it for a long time. When will you doubt the thoughts? Stop trusting them.
I want to do it now, but I don't know. I guess I don't know when I will, but I want to do it.
And why don't you do it now?
I don't know if I can.
If you can, what?
If I can doubt every thought, you know, is this something you have to grow into?
Why are you saying that?
Because when I try to do it, I fail at it.
How do you know it's something you have to grow into? Where do you get that from?
Because when I try to do it, it doesn't work. So I have no other choice but to keep trying.
Give me an example of you trying to doubt or not believe a thought. What is it that you're trying to do?
I mean, it's like, you know, just stop stop believing thoughts. I'm constantly having thoughts put into my head. And, you know, I try to just live a straight, simple life, and it eventually...
what do you do, Josh, to try not to believe a thought? What are you doing? When you say you try not to believe, what are you doing to try not to believe?
I don't know what I'm doing to try not to believe. It's just...
Well, then how do you know you're trying not to believe then?
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it's more like trying to be simple about everything.
What are you doing, Josh, in trying not to believe a thought? Real fast, before the break. Hold on, Josh. Lord have mercy. He black. Back in a moment. I recommend you get a copy of my book, From Rage to Responsibility. I write about how the spirit of anger was taken away from me 29 years ago. I forgave my mother who tried to turn me away from my father, and I returned to my father, and through him, my father on earth, And through him, I was able to return to God. No man or woman can return to God unless you go through the Son. And men are sons of God. They may be weak, pathetic examples of it, but it's the spiritual order of life. God in Christ, Christ in man, man over woman, woman over children. So get from race to responsibility. I write about that. Go to my website, rebuildingtheman.com, for an autographed copy, or call 800-411-BOND. And donate to my nonprofit, Bond, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. We are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. Is your religion working for you? Christianity, Allahu Abba religion, Judaism religion, whatever your religion is it working for you? What good is it doing you? Is it working for you? There are people who are hailing Mary. What the? Amazing. The Hake Report is coming up at 9 a.m. this morning. The Hake, H-A-K-E, report.com, from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific time. And at 11 a.m., Joel Friday TV. He black. Joel Friday TV. He black. At 11 a.m. Monday through Thursdays. And after that, the American Anchor Baby. The American Anchor Baby. At 4 p.m. Pacific time. 4 p.m. Go to my nonprofit, rebuildingtheman.com, and donate. We need your support. We've been rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man for 34 years, soon to be 35. Rebuilding the family, rebuildingthefamily.com, rebuildingtheman.com/donate, or call 800-411-BOND. And thank you all in advance. I appreciate it. And for those who, hey, Jesse, you've been helping me. I'm sorry, Tussle, I wasn't thinking. Thank you for your support as well. RebuildingTheMan.com/donate or call 800-411-BOND. It's tax deductible. All right. Let me go back to the busy phone. And Josh, out of Georgia?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Josh, here, because of time, here's what I recommend. Yeah. You stop trying to believe thought or not believe them. You just see them. There's nothing else required of you. You just need to see them. Don't call them you. And let them, and let the light take care of them.
All right.
Is that hard to do?
No. Well, I mean, is it like staying away from things that feel good, that you know aren't good for you?
What?
I was going to say, like, I try to stay away from things that bring on emotion and that feel good.
I don't know what that means, but you don't know what things that are good, and you don't know what things that are bad.
Wow, okay. So that's just complicating it more.
Yeah, what the?
So that's what, okay.
Why not just watch those thoughts, go about your day, go to work, have your meals, and blah, blah, blah. I don't even know what you mean by staying away from things that are not good. How do you know what's good?
I guess what hurts me in the long run. I don't know.
I don't even know what that means.
It's like okay.
Let me
I don't,
ask, you're black, really, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Do you eat sweet potato pie?
Yes.
Well, you're fine.
Okay, but here's another one. Listening, I don't listen to music as much as I used to because I know it brings emotion and it feels like it's strengthening the emotion in me.
And that's why you don't listen to it?
It makes me more emotional, yeah. Right. That's
I get
why I
so
don't.
Emotional, baby, every time But Josh, if you want to listen to music, you listen, and then you see what you're feeling and thinking about it, and seeing it would change it, and you would lose the appetite without your effort of listening to that kind of music, or you would be able to listen to music and not be affected by it like that. But if you try to take control and make yourself stop listening to music because you're feeling emotional about it, God made music possible so you can enjoy music.
Okay.
But you're trying to do these. You're forcing yourself not to listen to music because the music makes you emotional, rather than listening to. And I'm not telling you to go listen to music, but you rather than listening to it and seeing that it makes you emotional, so it can correct itself.
Okay.
You can listen to music and enjoy music in the right way.
So it's kind of like, could I smoke pot and enjoy smoking pot in the right way, too?
So that what you want to do?
I don't, but it seems like it's the same thing to me. Because it seems like it's the same thing.
How is that the same thing? Is it as if you have the wrong relationship with it?
Right, okay, with the wrong relationship. That's what the key of it is, man. I don't even smoke pot, but it
well, it sounds like you want to join. What?
Like it's the same thing as listening to music. You know, I can get high off of just listening to old music that I haven't heard in a long time and bring back old memories. I can get high off of that. And it alters, you know, it gives me chills and, you know, makes the hair on my arm stand up. And
what?
It feels like getting high almost.
Music makes your hair stand up?
It do.
What kind of
it do? I could work.
Oh, you listen to music then? What the?
I don't know, man. But
when you work out, what?
I can listen to music and it's like cheating, and I can work out harder by listening. But if I work out without listening to music, it's like I'm not as, I can't bench as much. I can't do as, it's not as good as a workout. Isn't that crazy? It's like a stimulant.
Josh,
like
you need to relax.
Okay.
you need to take a chill pill.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You need to relax, Josh.
All right. But, yeah, I don't know. I just see it as like a drug, and I don't know. But maybe that's overthinking it. But
it is overthinking it.
Okay.
You need
in that case, anything could be a drug.
You need to watch these thoughts without putting your opinion into it.
Okay.
Just watch it. All right. All right, John.
Sounds good, man.
Thanks for responding to the biblical question. And I'll put my two cents in on Sunday.
All right. Will do. Thank you, man.
All right. Amazing. 888-775-3773. David out of Georgia.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, David. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I've been following your show for about a year. And it's been so helpful just in such practical ways. And I've been a Christian for 30 years. But the reason I was calling today, I was really curious. I know today is Bible Thumper Thursday.
Yes.
And I've always embraced the doctrine of the Trinity. And I won't go through it all. You know it all. But, I mean, I've heard you go back and forth with different callers. My question is real practical. It's like, I don't understand. What do you see as a danger in a follower of Christ embracing
that idea that Jesus is in his essence God.
And why did you embrace that? Why did you embrace that?
Well, as I just, over the years, have read through the New Testament, I don't, you know, like you, I don't hold, like, worship the Bible, but I've read through it, you know, a few times. And, you know, some of the passages like Matthew 3, where Jesus is being baptized, you see that picture of the Son being baptized in the water there. God the Father speaks out from heaven, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And then the dove is supposed to be like the Holy Spirit. So you see these pictures of that. And then like Matthew 28:19, "Go therefore and make disciples," what people call the Great Commission, baptizing them in.
David, is there anywhere in the Bible where there is a teaching of the Trinity?
Well, let me ask you this. Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission. It says, "baptizing them in the name," singular, indicating one God, "in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." That seems to be saying that there is one God, three persons.
How does that seem to be saying that? It said God, who is the Father, right? God is the Father. It said the Son. Who is the Son to the Father, right?
Yes.
And then the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Where does it say, why did you put those three together and call them God and Trinity? Why did you do that? That didn't say that in the Bible. Why have you embraced something like that when it's not even taught or mentioned at all, not one time in the Bible? Why have you done that?
Okay. Here's why. Because, and this is my question for you, because I don't see a harm in it. Because I think the Trinity doctrine as such is someone trying to describe Jesus, the Father, and the Spirit from an eternal perspective, and you're explaining it from a man's perspective, like it's impossible. You have the Son, so I think they're both right.
What's an eternal perspective? I don't know what you mean by
eternal,
that.
Eternal, I guess what the easiest way to say it would be like God explaining himself to humanity. It'd be like
Did God explain the Trinity to you?
I think you see it all through the New Testament.
The Trinity to you?
Yes.
God explained the Trinity to you
through the New Testament in several places.
I didn't mean to laugh.
Don't
sorry.
Say it specifically, but will you answer my question?
Yes.
What's the danger in it? Why is it dangerous practically?
It's keeping you away from God. All you're doing is collecting a bunch of intellectual knowledge about God, and a knowledge about God is not knowing God. It keeps you away from God. Knowledge about God, hate God. God has nothing to do with it, and it has nothing to do with God.
Okay.
If Jesus was God, why would he say, "No man get to the Father unless he go through the Son"?
I'm not going to say that's a good point, because then you'd say, "No, that was a question." But I see it. Yeah, you make a good point.
No, that was a question.
It got me anyway. He would not say that if it were not the case, what you're saying.
So if he didn't say, "No man get through to God unless you go through the Trinity," why are you falling for something called Trinity? And why don't you question that?
Well, because I think Jesus is speaking to another human and making them understand it. He has to come down on their level in the way that he explains it. So that's the reason he says you have to come through the Father or through the Son to get to the Father. Otherwise, you would not understand what to do.
Where do you get this idea that Jesus come down to human beings' levels?
Well, what I mean by that is when he was teaching them, if you read through the Gospels, you see him interacting with his disciples
and he uses parables, and so often they totally misunderstood what he was trying to get across to them. Like, you remember when he was talking to Nicodemus, and he said, a man must be born of water and of the Spirit. And Nicodemus thought he meant, or a man must be born again.
But if he had come down, if he had came down to another person, to human being level, he would not have spoken in parables. He would have spoken in a human being level. He didn't do that. Why do you say that he came down to human being levels to speak? That doesn't make sense. He didn't do that.
Well, I just
because human being levels are evil. They're levels of Satan.
Yo, I agree with that. I'm just saying that he uses techniques like the parables to make his teaching.
But that's not human. That's not human level. Human beings don't understand parables,
right? It makes you think.
What, are you a Christian?
I am, yes, sir.
What good has it done you to be a Christian? What good have your religion done you? Is it working for you?
Yes, it works for me.
In what way is it working for you?
But I don't call it a religion. I don't call it a religion. It's not a religion to me. It's just a relationship. I just realized that I'm like everybody else. I'm a sinner. And I realized this at 17 years old, that I do things that I know I shouldn't do. And I don't do the things I know I should do, and it's just a constant battle like that. And so,
and why do you call yourself a sinner?
I'm not a sinner anymore, but prior to my recognizing that and asking God for forgiveness and returning to the Father, I was a sinner.
And why did you call yourself a sinner then?
Because it was the word that I had heard in church and other places that describes breaking God's Ten Commandments or doing that which we can would call wrong.
And why did you believe that from those people?
It just made sense.
But does God call you a sinner?
God calls those who have not been washed in the blood sinners, yes.
Does God call you a sinner?
No, not me.
Has God ever called you a sinner?
No.
Then why did you call yourself a sinner? Because some man said that you were a sinner.
Because I was young and ignorant.
But even when you got, what?
I guess.
But as an old man, you still believe it.
I still believe that prior to my salvation experience, I was a sinner, yes.
But then why do you believe that God never said that about you?
Okay, then how do you explain Romans 3:23? For all have fallen short.
Why did you say that when God never called you a sinner? Never.
Because God does call me a sinner.
No, he didn't. He said all your sins have been washed away. They have been forgotten.
Right.
And so if they're all washed away, why do you say he called you a sinner?
because they were washed away.
David,
point.
Do you hear yourself? Calm down.
Okay.
Christ came
and
cleaned up the house. Because prior to that, everyone was a sinner. There was not one except for one man that he could find to not be a sinner. One good man of all the people in the world. Remember that?
I do.
So the whole house was dirty except for one corner. Christ came and he cleaned the house up, the whole entire house. He cleaned it up. And he said, all your dirt has been cleaned and washed away. Right?
Right.
And as a result, you're not a sinner. So why do you call yourself that? And why have you called yourself that when he said you're not? Your sins have been washed away. Why do you call yourself that? Or call yourself that? Because some man told you that.
But I understand that. But it still is illogical not to look at my life on a timeline and say prior to 1993, I was a sinner.
And so who are you? The only sin you had in up until 1993 was you had an unforgiving heart. Your heart was wicked because you had anger.
Okay.
You had anger. That's the only thing you had to admit is that you were angry, and an angry person play God. They judge. Salvation is of the heart. Have you overcome your anger?
Yes, you helped me with that like a year ago.
So you forgave your mother?
And my father.
Right. And so it's of the heart. Which is easy for you to accept? That you are a sinner, or all your sins have been wiped away?
Which is easier to accept?
Yes.
That I'm a sinner.
And so you don't accept all your sins have been wiped away?
I absolutely do.
But then what you just said, that you are a sinner, that's easier for you to accept.
Yeah, I think so. And while you're living in this flesh,
he didn't say anything. God didn't say that. Why are you saying that?
Well, you were asking me, I understood your question to be just like a practical day-to-day question, and it's just easier with the, you know, the constant pressure of watching your thoughts.
Who are you, David? Who are you?
I don't know the answer to that question. I've heard, and I know you won't, but I want to hear you. I don't know how to answer that. I'm nobody.
So you don't know who you are then?
No, I know my name. I know what I do. I know what I love. I know whose family I'm in, but I don't know how to answer your question satisfactorily. No.
Nice. So do you want to know who you are?
Yes.
Keep watching who you're not. You're not your thoughts. You're not your emotions. You're not your body. You're not a carpenter. That's what you do. You're not a father. That's who you are. You're not anything. So watch the not you, and you will know. You will remember who you really are.
Okay. Thank you, JC.
You're welcome. Amazing.
Hey, I was going to tell you real quick. You encouraged me. I had not had a relationship with my father because of divorce early in my life. And my father actually had ended up in prison he went to prison about 5 years ago down in South Georgia. And I didn't feel like I had any anger toward him. I just didn't have any feelings at all. But through conversations with you, and then just through my own thinking, I realized that I did have hidden anger, and I did go and forgive him, and it totally changed everything.
Right on.
So thank you, Jesse.
You're welcome.
I appreciate your ministry.
And David, I encourage you to let all knowledge about God go. Don't hold on to any knowledge about God.
I'm not going to. And when you said that, I just read this verse yesterday, and then I'm going to hang up. But Proverbs 25, verse 27 is that verse that a lot of people know. It's not good to eat too much honey, nor is it honorable to search out matters that are too deep. That's what it made me think of. It's not honorable to search out matters like the Trinity. So thank you, Jesse.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
All right.
Back in a moment, the hate news, not the fake news, and I'll be back in a moment.
To God, it is the best counseling service on this side of heaven. I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy. They're miserable. They have rough lives. They're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand. I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that. Out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingaman.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven.
A whole lot of mess going on in the world. This is the end of hour two already of Bible Thumper Thursday. It is October 10th, AD 2024. The lines are full, guys. JLP will be right back to your calls, and we'll get to the Super Chats and perhaps some great stories in the final hour of JLP today. But first, Hake News, not fake news. After the J.C. Lee Peterson Show, thehakereport.com. That's my show. Should be a fun show, I do hope and believe. Praying. And then Joelle Friday TV. Last day of Joelle Friday is Thursday. You got to catch them now. Got to catch them all. And then American Anchor, baby, at 4 p.m. Pacific time. That's the JLP Network, jcleepeterson.com/show. Commie Nonsense Network, CNN, is reporting on campaign cash. Do we care about that? I mean, Kamala Harris, her political team raised $1 billion since entering the presidential race in late July, according to a couple of sources to Commie Nonsense. Massive fundraising milestone for 2024. And she's still losing. Pathetic. Pathetic. Our greatest president, Trump, his team collected about $430 million jointly with the Republican Party during the 3 months between the start of July and the end of September. At this rate, our greatest president could struggle to even match what his political operation raised during the 2020 campaign. But who cares? It's not about money. It's about opening the eyes of the people, which only Trump and God can do. Indeed. So cool. Google is evil, but so is the government. The U.S. government is considering a breakup of Google after a federal judge ruled in August. Do they mean Alphabet? Ruled in August that the company had violated antitrust law by shutting out competitors in search. Oh, maybe they won't break up Alphabet, just Google. The Department of Injustice, they call it justice, but it's injustice, in a court filing said they may recommend dismantling Google's core businesses, separating their search business from Android, Chrome, and the Google Play App Store. This would prevent Google from using products such as Chrome, Play, and Android to advantage Google Search and Google Search-related products and features over rivals or new entrants, so said the evil government in their filing. The next stage of the legal fight likely involves a series of appeals and figuring out what penalties Google will face for its wrongdoing. Who's going to penalize the government? Nobody, except our greatest president, Trump, and based Elon Musk, who is promising to unveil the future of Tesla today. Hey, Tesla is scheduled to host an event in California. Whoa. Today to reveal their plans for self-driving robo-taxis. Isn't that cute? T-Swift, she donated $5 million toward the hurricane relief efforts. See, she loves the beautiful South after all, at least with her money, and made sure everybody knows about it. Made a significant donation toward helping those affected by hurricanes Milton and Helene, trying to rebuild her bad name, which she gave herself by being all outspoken like a woman about politics. Shameful. 22 Grand Slam titles tennis legend Rafael Nadal has won during his storied career. Shout out to Nadal. He today announced his upcoming retirement from that sport, tennis, saying that his final tournament will be with Spain at the Davis Cup Finals in November. And Turkish Airlines. Did you hear about this? A pilot died aboard a flight, and Turkish Airlines released this statement. We deeply feel the loss of our captain and extend our sincerest condolences to his bereaved family, colleagues, and all of his loved ones. And he was the tender age of 59 years old. He lost consciousness at some point, forcing the co-pilot. They should be co-pilots, but to make an emergency landing in New York. What a mess. Flying from Seattle to Istanbul on Wednesday. I'm James Hake. Now back to JLP, Hour 3.
have to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Can you imagine being on that flight? And you're like riding all the way from London, right, James?
It was Seattle to Istanbul. They landed in New York.
And you just relax, and all of a sudden the pilot comes on, the co-pilot. Ladies and gentlemen, just relax. Everything's going to be fine. The pilot just died. What the? Can you imagine being on a flight and the pilot die? Lord have mercy. Show me the exit window. Rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. We're also uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. My name is Jesse Peterson. Welcome to the third hour of the show today. You can get involved by calling 888-77-5377-888-77-Jesse. My biblical question for this week. When was the last time you had a real conversation with another human being? When the last time you had a real conversation with another human being? Amazing question. You can listen to the show if you're busy. You're sending your children off to a public school because you want to go to work and act like you and the man are equal. So you get more of a thrill by sending them off to school and letting them suffer at school while you get your thrill at work. Or you're working out, you're buying fentanyl, or you're selling a human being. What do they call that? Sex trafficking. You may be even sex trafficking right now. Or you may be so into sex trafficking. You can be listening to the show on your iPhone or iPad by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. That's 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to Buy Me a Coffee. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. How much does one person call cost to be a, if you bought a sex person, how much that cost, that one person? Let's say somebody, you over there in Mexico, and somebody bring you some sex person over here.
Oh.
From sex.
So sex trafficking?
Yeah, and you go, okay, I'll buy that one. How much that one cost? How many pesos?
Depends how long you have it.
So you could buy the sex.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not
person.
Involved in this business. I don't know why you're asking me.
Well, why are you trying to answer then? What? No, that's hate.
Who's your. Every male sex trafficker. Kingpin has a female queen sex trafficker. Who is she, Hake?
The lady of the home.
What a mess. Anyway, it's Friday. It's Thursday. And every Thursday is Bible Thumper Thursday.
God, Oga, are you ready?
Oga.
Are you ready? I don't feel your face. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Can you sing like that? Can you say it like that? Hey.
Yes.
Let me hear it.
No.
What a mess. Let me go over to London and talk to...
Femi.
What?
Femi.
Femi. Femi, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi, Jesse. Hope you're well.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate it. Are you a Christian?
Yeah, I am.
And what good has your religion working for you?
Yeah, I would say so. In
what way is it working?
I would say at least one way I could say is that I know at least as a Christian, not every religion can say this, but as a Christian, you know that God is always with you. So that gives you solace that you're never alone.
And how do you know that God is always with you?
Well, I know you're going to probably say, you know, don't use the Bible, but...
I'm not going to say that. It's Bible Thump on Thursday.
Okay, well, yeah, obviously the Bible teaches that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, are with us, you know, and that Jesus had to go for the Holy Spirit to come and be with us and to teach us the way. So, yeah, if you're not a Christian, then you wouldn't believe that and you wouldn't know that the Holy Spirit's with you all the time.
And how do you know that God is with you?
Because I've been able to feel him at times, and like when I previously would have felt alone, but obviously having come to God, realizing that I'm not alone, I can actually feel the presence.
What does God's presence feel like?
Tough question. I can't really describe it, but what I could say is that the previous feeling of you know, feeling alone, loneliness, that feeling isn't there, you know.
So that
feeling that you're not alone, and not in a creepy way, like there's some kind of thing hovering behind you or anything like that, but, you know.
And what does God feelings feel like?
I don't feel God's feelings.
You said that you feel his feeling. I asked how did you know he was with you, and you said because you can feel him.
Yeah.
And I asked what does his feeling feel like?
Yeah, his presence feels like, not his feeling. I feel his presence, I would say. His, you know, the fact that he's here. And if I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't know or believe in a God that was in all places at all times, to be with me at all times.
And what does his presence feel like?
Very difficult to put in words, like I said before. I'll be honest with you. Very difficult to put in words. But a feeling of lack of loneliness. Like, you know, loneliness can't exist.
Right. And so when you do feel lonely, because you do feel lonely at times, you feel fear at times, what happens to God feelings when you do feel lonely again or fear? Where is God feeling when you're feeling that way?
I don't want to sound like I'm special or different from others, but like I said before, when I didn't feel God, I didn't believe in God, then I did feel lonely, but I can't say that I have since. So maybe,
you never feel lonely again?
No, I haven't.
And do you have anger?
No. So I forgave my parents, Jesse.
Oh, you did your homework.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
I called in yesterday. I won't ask you to remember because I know you're black and black men don't remember. I think the only reason I even remember a little bit is because I got half white in me. But I called in yesterday talking about white people being under attack.
Yeah, I remember you from yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, wow. you know, and how their country, they're under attack in their own countries, and how
right.
Something we said yesterday, you said, you asked me why, when I told you the white man of yesterday is gone, the one that used to just, you know, plod on and no one could tell him to stop until he got to where he felt like he wanted to go.
Yes.
And I said that white man was gone, and you asked me why. And one of the things I think we didn't talk about really is the repercussion of what happens when you are a white person. I mean, you talk about it a lot, obviously, on your show, people that lose their jobs and stuff, you know, for stating things that are plainly true or trying to apply the law equally to all races, including all of the races that supposedly are above the law. You know, people losing their jobs, and I think that's one of the reasons.
So you're saying that white people don't, even in their own country, because the Western world was created by white men, and right. You're saying that white men don't speak up, even though they're under attack now in the Western world by people of color, governments and whatever. Are you saying white men don't speak up today because they're afraid of losing a job?
Yeah, well, not just jobs, but repercussions. So, you know, for students, I used to, you know, be a student at university, and you know, if you don't toe the line of the LGBT, the BLM, you know, they'll be sending you emails. The university will be sending you emails about, oh, Free Palestine, oh, BLM, oh, you know, we know you might be feeling upset on campus and that kind of stuff. And if you don't toe that line and you say something, you know, out of what they're expecting, you could lose your place at uni. And obviously people have lost their jobs and work. And
but in the good old days,
I think they're afraid of repercussions.
But in the good old days, when white men founded this great country and created with the help of God, and in your country, white men didn't think about what they would lose because
they
loved the truth more than they did anything else. What happened to that?
I agree. And I think that you hit the nail on the head that the repercussions are not more important than the truth, and that if you were to lose your job or...
You know, I'm asking, what happened to that type of love? What happened to that type of love that the white man stopped loving the truth, knowing that it was God who gave him the Western world, who helped him to create the greatest countries in the world? What happened to that love of truth that they know it was given to them by God?
Well, I think a lot of the Western world obviously has fallen away from God. A lot of them, you know, polls come out every day, censuses come out every year saying that less and less people are Christian, or less people want to admit it, or if you're asked in public, you know. So I don't know. I think people have forgotten that, you know, that there is a right way of doing things, and that, you know, it has to be followed. But yeah.
Are you afraid to speak up?
No, I mean, at uni when I first started, I'll be honest with you, I won't say I was fearful of repercussions, but I basically went in with the mentality of, for at least the first year, I'm here for 3 years. Let me just kind of see what space this is, see how radical this place is. Like, I need to hear the kind of things that they're talking about, hear what, you know, student unions are talking about and things like that before I even, you know, make what I believe known. But yeah, in the second and third year, if anyone asked me if there were conversations that were supposedly open to everyone in class, but what that really means is only put your hand up if you're going to go along with this LGBT, BLM, Free Palestine. But if you're actually going to go against it, they don't want you to put your hand up. But I did. And a couple of times I was brought aside by lecturers or emailed later on that, you know, those kind of things are not really acceptable, you know, to them in uni, that other students felt upset and that their feelings were hurt, and that I, as a student, don't have the right to upset students and things like that. So
let me ask you a quick question that I got to run here. Do you love the Jews?
Yes.
What do you say to the whites? There are some white people now who don't love the Jews. They're blaming the Jews for their failure. What do you say to white people who don't, those whites who don't love the Jews? And they call themselves Christians. What do you say to them?
Well, yeah. Well, I would obviously say it's unchristian to be like that. That's not Christ-like to treat the Jews like that. Jesus was a Jew. But Jews today, I think that they play a massive role in what's going on in the world. Like the kind of fight that they're fighting against terrorism, really, that's a fight that the whole Western world should have been fighting. And it's all just fallen on Israel's shoulder, in my opinion. So to be honest, I think, yeah, any white person that, you know, hates Jews or blames them for their problems doesn't understand that Jews have been, you know, essential to the creation of some of these very powerful white nations. They've been helpers, allies. We've helped them. We've saved them. They've helped us. And they continue to be our allies. And they're the only ones in the Middle East that really are our allies. So, yeah, I would think they should do a bit more looking at what's going on and looking at history of our relationship.
Is it possible to love God and hate anyone?
No.
Nice.
No, it's not. I love when you ask that question to people because, you know, the black people that come on your show are so quick to say, oh, I love my people. Oh, I love black people. Yeah. And then you say, do you love the Asians? They'll be like, oh, yeah, you know, I love the Asians. You know, what about the Jews? Some of them will say yes. If the Hebrew Israelites on there or the Nation of Islam, they're going to tell you no. But, you know, most blacks will probably just be like, yeah, you know, I don't have anything against the Jews. You get to the white man, no. Or, you know, right. I don't love all of them. Or I don't know all of them to love them. And it's so crazy that it's just the hypocrisy is so open. I love that question whenever you ask it.
Amazing. Amazing, man.
I just wanted to, sorry, I know I've been here for a minute, but I just wanted to, the reason I actually called you was that, talking about repercussions, right?
Yeah.
A police, we don't have unions here for police. I think it's like a legal matter. The police are not allowed to have unions, but they have basically a very similar organization, which is like a union for them. It's like a federation. Yeah. And the head of that, he recently just got fired, I think yesterday. And he got fired because he spoke about an incident that happened in London about a year ago, actually, but some events happened later on because of it. A black woman was on the bus and she got asked by a ticket inspector to show her ticket, right? And she didn't want to show her ticket, even though she actually had a legal ticket to show him. She just decided she didn't want to show him. So he followed protocol that day and he called the police. The police showed up. She got told to leave the bus. She wouldn't. She got taken off the bus physically. Her child was there crying. Her brother's there filming, blaming the police, saying, oh, that's a woman. Stop grabbing her, manhandling her. When really, she should be telling this, that, you know, you're the one that, you have a ticket. Just show the guy. It could have all been over. But no, anyways. So what happened to the male police officer that was holding her arm the whole time? Didn't, you know, throw around anything, just holding her in place. He is now facing charges, and because of that, he's facing charges, he's been suspended, he's facing charges over that incident, because obviously the blacks have kicked up a fuss and racism and all, you know, slavery and colonial mentality and this and that, whatever else. But the police federation guy, the head of it, he was like, I've had many police officers, past and present, come to me and say that white officers feel that they cannot apply the law equally to all of the races, because if they do it to certain races, black, Asian, Arab, there will be an outcry of racism. They will get, you know, if enough people make a complaint, there'll be an actual investigation internally into their behavior. They'll get sued. They'll get, you know, maybe sent to prison. And because he said that in an interview, he lost his job for saying that. And he's now facing allegations that he's a racist and that it's just like, he's obviously been told that if even one officer has told him that, it's a problem. But for him to say that, which is his job as the person that represents these people, to say what they are telling him. And if they are telling him that, you know, white officers, they cannot actually do their job with black citizens, black criminals, Asian criminals, that's a problem. That should be talked about. It's insane, honestly.
So the blacks act the same way in London that they act
100%.
And the 100%. Same way they act in America?
100%.
What's wrong with the blacks?
What's wrong with the blacks? It's a great question.
That's amazing. So is this guy going to continue to speak up anyway?
I hope so. I hope so. I really hope so. I was just, I'd never even heard of him before, but I literally was just thinking, wow, that's a shame that an honest man, I don't know what else, I can't say an honest man in his whole life. I don't know what
right.
else. Right,
yeah.
But that was the honest act of just telling the truth. This is my job. Whether people, I might get, you know, a bit of criticism, a bit of backlash. This might hurt a few people's feelings, but this is the truth of what I've been told. It's mind blowing to me. And I just wonder how long the white man is going to keep pandering to this, because right. the problem is white man, there is a white man on both sides of the fence. There's a white conservative who wants the country to go back to law and order, but there's also a white man in power right now who's very liberal and just seems to want to see the world burn. So I don't know, that white man needs to come back and see sense, because otherwise it's not looking good. Or so, the other white man needs to rise up and do something.
So
I don't know.
Will you tell this guy that's going through this to come on my show?
Mm-hmm.
Will you tell him to come on my show?
Well, I don't know if I'll be able to. I'll try and, I don't know if he has an email or like somewhere you can send a letter to him. But yeah, I don't know. I'll try and reach out to him, I guess. But
see if find him and tell him I want him on the show.
Okay. Amazing.
Oh, man, let me know.
All right, I will do.
Amazing call, man.
All right. See you later.
Let me know. See if you can get him on the show.
Yeah, I will. I'll actually email him. I'll try and find out his contact details. And then do you have like an email for people to like send it?
Yeah.
If I put it in a byline, you'll get it.
Producer@jesseleepeterson.com.
Producer@jesseleepeterson.com. Okay. All right, cool. Yeah, I'll email him and tell him about the show, and that I obviously told what happened, and that if he wants to come and tell his side of it, that he should come and speak to you.
Absolutely. Oh, amazing.
Yeah,
well, thank you, man. You're like my go-to guy in London.
Amazing.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, bro. Have a good day, and the rest of you as well.
All right. Amazing, huh? What a mess. Let me go to, is it Lizzie? Lizzo? A first-time caller out of California. Lizzo, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning.
I just had a quick question before I wanted to answer the biblical question.
Okay.
Regarding physical pain.
The biblical question is, when was the last time you had a real conversation with another human being?
I remember I was about 14. It was with my father.
Nice.
And he told me, yeah, because when you asked that this morning, it brought me back. I thought and dug deep and asked myself, when did I have a meaningful conversation with anybody in my life? And God brought me back to that memory quickly, to my father. I remember it vividly. We were stationed in the Philippines, and we used to get water on the base because the local water was contaminated. So
right.
we had a chore every few days of the week. We would travel to the base and collect water in big jugs. So that's what we were doing that day. I remember it vividly, and I don't want to tear up because I'm not one to cry.
And what is a real conversation to you?
A real conversation. It was a sincere question from a daughter to her father about high school.
Oh, okay.
And I said, because I was going to enter high school, and I asked him. I said, Dad, you think high school will go by fast? He said, Oh, it'll go by so fast. And then he added. That you will be so lucky in your life if you have one friend. And I was just, you know, I was 14. I said, I just thought to myself, and, you know, having lived 30, 40 years later, he's so right, Mr. Jesse.
Yeah.
He was so right. And, you know, I never thought I'd long for my father. I have to pause just a minute. But I long for him because I was taught to hate him. From just a very young age, I think I was 4. My mother, I questioned myself, how does somebody beat up a 4-year-old now that I look back on it? And at that time, I grew up to, when I was 4, Mr. Jesse, after she beat me the way she did, and she beat me throughout my life till I was 18. At four, I matured to a 20-year-old.
Wow.
That fast. Because I was so shocked at the physical pain I was experiencing. And I grew up to like 20. Now I have insight on how life is as a grown woman. And I have a 32, 33-year-old son, and he's my only son. So looking back, I'm astounded to what I went through.
Yeah.
But I knew God was with me at four. At 4 years old.
And did you forgive your mother for that?
I think I forgave her last year when I started listening to you, because I had thought I had forgiven her.
And did you tell her?
I told her on the phone. I think it was in person twice, and she got really she was offended. But you know,
nice.
I understand. But that was the one. That's what I wanted to tell you. And there's one more thing where there was another question you asked. About how is your religion
working for you?
How it helped, Mr. Jesse. I was introduced to Catholicism at a very young age from my mother's side, and I was like 1 or 2 years old, and I have vivid memories of my mom fighting with my dad, and I would always be with my Filipino grandmother. She would always have light a candle, and she and I would have the door closed, and we'd listen to the fight. And it was my mom fighting my dad. My dad was usually quiet. He was a very good-looking man. He was very quiet.
But what I'm asking, how is your religion working for you?
It works for me till this day, because that's how I was introduced to God.
By your mama?
That's how I was.
Oh. You were introduced to God by hearing your mama beat your daddy?
No, my grandmother. She would be praying, and that's how I was introduced to God.
Oh, I see. And so how's it working for you now?
It's just I pay homage to the Catholic faith. I attend Mass, I'd say maybe once a week. I go to the morning Mass. It's just my way of maybe perhaps thanking God that...
Do you pray to Mary?
I don't pray to Mary. I know that she is not dead, and not all priests are bad. There's like one in a million that aren't bad. There was one priest that said Mary did not remain a virgin, and the whole church was kind of like gasped. After he said that, everybody was like, "Huh!" I could hear all the gasps. But it was a good relief that he said that, because I realized that when we do pray to the saints, quote unquote saints, it's just to ask for prayer. I don't pray to her as if she's a savior or someone.
So do the Catholics think that Mary never had sex with her husband? Well, her husband
of course
never. His name was Joseph or something, right?
Yeah, but Jesus had half brothers, didn't he? He had human brothers.
Yeah, Mary had some good old, sex.
I almost called you Dr. Jesse. Mr. Jesse, before I go, because I know you've got other callers, sir, and I do appreciate your show. I do. I'm a big fan of your show and the gentlemen that have shows with you.
Yes.
It's refreshing to hear clean talk, no cussing. Also, one big thing, and I'm a fan of your show because of this one big thing, and you might be surprised. I have to hurry up at 6 o'clock to hear the intro song, and I look at the chat, and I just bust out laughing because the chat is so hilarious with all the ducks lined up. And then you, Mr. Jesse, you're so funny.
Oh,
you don't have to try. So thank you.
Thank
and
you.
I'll call back. Hopefully I can call back and talk more.
Ask you something. Did you call Hake Show and tell him how well he speak and stuff like that?
Well, of course he learned from you.
I know, I'm asking, did you call him? That was what you said about him was so true. It was like he does bring back old radio, the way radio used to be when radio...
And you know, Mr. Jesse, when you sing all the old songs, when you start to sing, and sometimes you annoy your callers, but I enjoy listening to you because my dad is a mulatto. He's half white, half black.
Yeah.
And so he, you know, I knew all the Motown songs because of him. And then when you start singing, like,
Hold on. I got to take a quick break. Hold on. Back in a moment. Hold on. So I asked the question, are you better than a child molester? I've discovered over the 30 years of counseling, the one thing that's missing the one thing that's missing. And I think because it's not taught in the homes or talked about, we don't have examples of it, right? Is love. Our theme this year is to bring back Christianity, to love God with all our heart, soul, and might, our neighbor as ourselves, and to endure. And there, when you're in a fallen state, people will judge the molester but think they're better than the molester. And I ask, well, why do you think you're better? What I realize, it doesn't matter what you think about yourself or how much you have or don't have or how you accomplish things in life or don't. If you have no love, you have nothing. The Hake Report is coming up at the top of this hour. Welcome back. The Hake, H-A-K-E, report.com. The guy with the good hair? He white. From 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific time, The Hake Report. And by the way, the treasure chest is now open on D-Live. Amazing. And so from 9 to 11 a.m., The Hake Report.com. And at 11 a.m. Monday through Thursday, Joel Friday TV. He black. Joel Friday TV. And at 4 p.m., The American Anchor Baby. The American Anchor Baby at 4 p.m. Pacific time. Energy just all over the place. If y'all had a way of seeing how much this guy does in one day, you have to thank God. He's full of energy, and he's a genius. The American Anchor Baby at 4 p.m. Pacific time. All right? And don't forget to do the social media trip. Like, follow, ring the bell, and do all that stuff. All right? JLP Talk on X and Jesse Lee Peterson on Instagram, rumble.com/JLP Talk. I mean, Jesse Lee Peterson, rumble.com/Jesse Lee Peterson, and cozy.tv, where Christ is king. Cozy.tv/JLP. Cozy.tv/JLP. Like, follow, ring the bell, subscribe, and all that. Lizza.
Hey, it's Lizza.
Lizza. I wanted to tell
legal.
You.
It's legal, but that's okay. Go ahead.
I wanted to tell you that when you call Hake that day, I happened to be listening, and you said
sir.
That how well he reminded you of the radio days, and he spoke well, and yeah. I was like, he is so right about that. Hake speak yeah. really well. At one time, I tried to be like that, speak well like Hake, uh-huh. but it didn't work, uh-huh. so I went back to being black.
but
you
were
so right about that.
Mr. Jesse, I'll let you go, but I just want you to know that I really do enjoy when you start singing because it's just different songs. And most of the songs that you do start singing, I know them, especially that last one, the men all paused. I was just, I couldn't stop laughing the whole day every time I thought of you. So thank you, Mr. Jesse.
You're
so
welcome.
Fun listening to you. You're full of knowledge and wisdom, and I appreciate you. Have a good day.
All
bye-bye.
Right. Thank you. Bye now. 888-7753. 773. That woman said that she would, a nice lady call in and she would deal with menopause. Remember that? And last week, I believe. And I was like, the menopause when I walked into the room. The menopause when I walked into the room. It reminded me of that song. That was on Monday. Amazing. Let me go to England and talk to Graham. Graham, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Graham?
Hey, man.
Hey, all the way from England. Go ahead.
Yeah, man, how's it going?
All is well.
So did you want me to answer a question or can...
Oh, I didn't call you. I thought you called me.
Yeah, I did. But like,
Hold on a minute. What? Oh, he wanted to respond to the new member? Oh. Okay, Graham.
Hello?
So you want
Hello.
To... Hello?
Hello there.
Hello there. Hey, Graham.
All right, man. Is this connection all right? Like,
yes, it is.
All right, excellent.
So you wanted to respond to the question of the day. Are you a Christian?
Yes. Yeah,
and
I
what,
consider myself a Christian. Yes.
And is your religion working for you?
I think so. I mean, like, it's more of a case of, like, am I working for the Lord? for me, you know, like, I think it should be anyway, really.
So is your religion working for you?
Sure, of course.
And how is it working for you?
Well, the more I seek after the Lord and his purpose, the more he shows me, you know?
Like what, for example?
For example, something that you believe, I think, you don't believe that Jesus is God himself, or the Lord God himself.
Right,
know?
He is the Son.
Yeah, I mean, like, Matthew 19, for example, yeah? Verse 16. It has the young, well-to-do man hailing Jesus as good teacher, right?
Right.
And he asks, what good thing should he do to enter into life eternal? And then Jesus, well, he responds by asking him why he called him good.
That's right.
And by telling him that none are good bar the Lord, God of Israel, essentially.
That's amazing. You're right about that. They were calling Jesus good. He's like, why do you call me good? None is good but God. And so if Jesus was God, why would he ask that question and make that statement?
Indeed, man, indeed. I mean, Jesus, he quashes all notions of his divinity at that point.
That's
mad,
amazing.
I've got three amazings out here, man. That's going on the board. I'm going to frame that.
Amazing. Wait, that is truly... One last question. So do you believe that the Trinity exists?
I believe that the Lord God of Israel exists and Jesus was his truest messenger. I believe that he was the Son of God, but no, not the Trinity per se.
Yeah.
And I believe that the Lord breathed life into man's nostrils, you know, making him a living soul, you know.
Like, yeah.
So I believe in God's spirit, obviously, you know what I mean? Like, it breathes into man.
But no, there's such thing as Trinity. And a lot of Christians believe in something called a Trinity, and it doesn't it's not even in the Bible at all.
It's basically, I mean, it was really stuff written and decided by church fathers after Jesus had departed, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Graham, thank you for calling me, buddy. Call me again.
Bless you, Jesse, man. Take care, mate.
All right. Amazing. I will, mate. I like that. Mate. Amazing. Let me go to Eric, a first-time caller out of Sweet Home, Alabama. Oh, I wish I was in Dixie. Eric.
Amen.
Eric, welcome to the show.
Amen. Reverend Jesse, I'm not going to say I agree with you on every point of thing that you have to say, but I appreciate your candor and your honesty. I have to say, there's a couple things I have to ask questions about. Okay, one, I'm a dimensional Christian. If you know what that means.
No, I don't.
I was raised a Catholic, and I was baptized a Baptist, and somewhere I'm in between. And I believe now we use the word Trinity, which is not in the Bible, but I believe that God has to modalize him. And there's a lot of people are calling me a heretic for this, but Christ is the Father in human form. That's the way I believe.
And why do you believe that? When Christ said he is the Son, why do you believe he's the Father?
Because God is one. The totality of God, first off, is kind of beyond our three-dimensional mindset. And so I believe there's this like 10 or multiple dimensions, and that God represents himself in those dimensions through that, which is, and they're going to call me a modalist. I don't really care. All right. And they're going to call me a heretic, but he represented himself in his Son.
Right. The Father is in the Son, but that doesn't make the Son God.
Okay. I'm going to struggle with that for a while. I'll have to work that out, but all
because
I know is
even the Son said he was the Son. My Father and I are one. I am the Son, and my Daddy is Daddy. My Father is my Father.
So you believe Jehovah, or Yahweh, depending on which language you want to use, is separate of the Son.
Well, who is Jehovah?
Jehovah is one of the names of God. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah.
Oh,
right?
Jehovah Jireh, my provider. His blessings are sufficient for me. His blessings are sufficient for me.
Amen.
My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. He's put his angels in charge over me. Jehovah,
amen.
Jehovah cares for me. Oh, I believe the Father and the Son are one. Just as you are the Son, you're the Son of God, so you and God are one. He dwells in you. He leads you. He guides you. He gives you life. So you and the Father are one, but that doesn't make you God.
No, I'm not God.
So you're the
and I don't believe in, I'm not a little G, but I believe Jesus died for my sins, and why he did that, I'm amazed.
That's right.
I am a perfectly, we can talk. I'm gonna ask you one other question after this. I'm perfectly, I only have one bastion left, but I am not perfect. I have done so many horrible things in my life. Even thought I was a good guy doing it.
That's right.
Right.
Have you overcome your anger?
Not every day.
And why not?
Times I get,
why
I
haven't
get,
you dropped
I
all
guess
the
I get frustrated.
Why?
I get frustrated, and then I express my frustration in anger. And I know that I'm a reviler because of that. And I'm seeking salvation, Reverend.
Why don't you drop your anger right now and never get angry again?
I will. I'm sorry, Reverend. You're breaking me down right now, but okay. I will. In Jesus' holy name, I will. I do want to ask you one about I want to ask you about what Christ said when they tried to deny the children to come to him. And he said, do not deny them coming to me. He said, anybody causes them to harm. He said, sin, but harm to them. He said, it's better a millstone wrapped around their neck and thrown in the deepest portion of the ocean. And I find that to be a veiled threat against pedophiles.
No, because the children, until they are traumatized by their mothers, the children are innocent and they should not be kept away from God. But when mothers and fathers are not perfect, they traumatize the children and they prevent the children from going to the Father.
Okay. And now, does that also apply to those who I'm sorry, I was molested and raped as a child, okay? And so I have a very hard bend against pedophiles. I just do. How do I deal with that?
By forgiving them. Because if you hate the pedophile, you're worse than the pedophile himself, because the angry person is an evil person. An angry person.
I don't want to be evil.
Well, then forgive them, because the same anger that's driving you to be angry, the same spirit, it's the same spirit inside of them that made them do what they did. It was the evil, the anger of the heart. So you got to forgive them so God can forgive you.
Okay. Okay.
They couldn't help.
That's a tough nut to wrap around. You know that, right?
Well, that is a tough nut to wrap around, but you got to wrap that nut around it, and you got to forgive. You got to forgive them. They know not what they do. It wasn't them. It was the spirit of anger in their imagination that caused them to do that.
Okay.
So forgive them so you can be, so God can take the anger away from you, all right?
Yes, sir.
You change your heart when you forgive.
Okay. I know I don't want to keep you on here because I know you got 100 other people who want to talk to you. I will pray for you because I think that you're doing his work. Please pray for me.
I will. I've done it already. So forgive them. You forgive those people who did that to you. They could not help themselves. And God will forgive you, and he will set you free, all right?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Reverend.
You're welcome, buddy. 888-7753. Where's Hate?
I'm coming in right now. 773.
Super chat. Super chat. Before I go back to the phone real fast. Super chat. Super.
Over on buymeacoffee.com/GLP talk. Actually, Greenwald gave a diamond.
Thank you.
Why did the Pharisees turn against and kill Jesus?
Why did they turn against me?
Me?
No, I
thought you were doing it for me.
No, I wasn't.
I thought he was giving me a hint.
You have no food on your beard. But go ahead.
Why did the Pharisees turn against and kill Jesus?
Because they hated the truth. They didn't recognize the truth. They hated it. Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Greenwald.
Yeah. In the same way that when you wake up, your family members, your wife, if she's not working on herself, your children, if they're not working on themselves, your friends, your co-workers, they're going to turn against you because the darkness of them hate the light in you. That's why they turned against Jesus. They hated the light. Amazing. Thank you.
Shout out to the top contributors on DLive, Greenwald, Games for Rec, Misty, Wolf336, Groovy Monkey, Kid Combo 1.0, Kilo Alpha Tango, Army Ann, and those supporters. Thank you.
Amazing. Thank you.
Pastor Chatelet with a rumble rant.
You got to know how to rumble.
Been in a few tongues churches. Never was cozy with that.
Nice. I don't blame you. What the?
Shout out to the luckiest followers from the Treasure Chest crew, Misty, Greenwall, Kid Combo 1.0, Groovy Monkey, Games for Rec. Congratulations for the redistribution of the lemons. Nice.
Nice. Thank you. Yeah.
Nick LaBoy with a rumble rant. I've noticed men lost the nerve to be blunt in discussions and are taken back when I don't hold back. What happened to being upfront and truthful in speaking? We need to make being blunt great again.
Men allow women to convince them to think and be like them, to think like a woman and to be emotional like a woman. And so they have not overcome their mother's nature. They literally think and feel like a woman. They feel fear. They feel anger. They feel insecurity, strife, and jealousy and all that, just like a female. They must return to the Father. Thank you.
Over on buymeacoffee.com/GLP talk, Isaiah the Uber driver, 6 coffees. Is this what you mean when you say there is no you? Jesus said, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. John 12:32.
Amazing.
Is that what you mean when you say there's no you?
That's not what I meant. I don't know if that's what that is saying. I'm about to look at that, but that's not what I meant at the time. But thank you.
Thank you, Isaiah.
Yeah, thank you, Isaiah.
David, 5 coffees.
I'm about to read that, though, and take a look at it.
Morning, Jesse. That was from John 12:32.
Send it to me when you get a chance.
Okie dokie.
Okay.
Morning, Jesse and Hake, says David with five coffees. I'm voting for the Great White Hope. I heard a caller call in on some other show yesterday when he said he voted early. He said on the ballot it has Harris Waltz listed first, and it was hard to find Trump's name on the second page. I think we need to tell everyone, especially that somebody's, not sure what he's saying, to look onto the second page for Trump's name. Also, don't check Bobby Kennedy's name. He is no longer running for president and is now back in the Great White Hope. Please spread the word. Look hard for Trump.
I had a friend text me from Oregon, and they said that that guy Kennedy's name was, and by the way, he's Trump. Vote for Trump.
We are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
That's right.
The people. And that they had the Kennedy name still on the ballot, and they didn't, I believe they told me they didn't find J.D. Vance's name, or maybe even Trump, but they still had the Kennedy name on the ballot. What's a mess? I don't know, but that's, and they sent me a picture of it. I saw it. Amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, David.
Yeah.
He says thanks. Mr. Pink bought a coffee. Biblical question, answer.
When was the last time you had a real conversation with another person, another human being?
Yes.
Yes?
This time it wasn't a yes or no question, man.
Right. What?
He says, Baptist Christians develop good friendships, we eat good food, and we know the truth.
That's not a biblical
in the Bible. And teach only that.
That had nothing to do with the biblical.
Banana pudding and whipped cream and Nilla wafers.
Oh, my God. Now you are right with me. Amazing. Thank you. Though that has nothing to do with the biblical question.
Maybe he meant the answer to, has your religion helped you?
Oh, is maybe your religion working for you?
Yeah. Yes. We'll chalk it up to that. Thank you, Mr. Pink.
Yeah.
Pardon me if I'm the one who's confused. All My Bone Days bought a coffee. I have an idea for bringing back the Men's Conference 2025 with guest speakers Bill Lockwood, Owen Schroer, Chad Jackson from Uncle Tom. That would be an amazing lineup. Time to bring men back.
It really would. And thank you for that suggestion. Amazing one, too. Thank you.
Juan from Washington State. Forgiveness is the greatest gift given to men. No more fear of death. No more fear of living. Trying my best to live in the now.
Stay with us. Stay with us. Stay with it. Thank you.
Five coffees from RJ. It's amazing. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you. Amazing.
Wayne, I am that I am. Jesse, why is debunking the Trinity so important? My answer? It puts Jesus on a pedestal where people do not treat him like the pioneer of our faith. When I tell brethren I have perfect peace because Jesus had it, they respond that he could do it because he is God. But while we are in the flesh, we cannot do it. A lie from the pit of hell.
Yeah, what it is. It really is. It's amazing how the mind, the imagination have caused human beings to make Jesus so big and so away from them, and that they can't believe that they can't be like their brother. It's mind-blowing to me, but I understand it. I understand it. False teaching, not only in the physical, from other people, from the imagination as well. Thank you.
Five coffees from Nikki. Thank you. No message.
Thank you, Nikki.
Terry bought a coffee. Answer to the biblical question.
Why? When was the last time you had a real conversation with another human being?
2 days ago. I called Nick, the American anchor baby.
Perfect.
You can call any of the JLP network experts and have a real conversation.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesse, for giving us such amazing experts. Please give Nick, Hake, and Joel a raise. Cool sunglasses emoji.
Done. Thank you.
Jack bought a coffee. Jesse, the Catholic Church was established by Jesus Christ himself. It's built upon the foundational teachings of Jesus Christ. I don't understand where you get the authority to overrule the teachings of Christ.
What did he say? What did he say?
Catholic
that.
Church was established by Jesus Christ himself.
Oh.
All men are imperfect, but the teachings of Christ remain the same.
Well, Jesus may have established the Catholic Church, I guess. I don't know. But the Catholic Church is lost. The Pope is tick. The Pope is liberal. What the? That has nothing to do with Jesus. Amazing. Thank you.
Calling you out says, why the talk and emphasis on God, yet the big jack-o'-lantern pumpkin face in the background animation? Explain.
Beautiful.
Thanks.
Beautiful. It's Halloween. What else we going to put up there?
Amazing.
It's Halloween. Thank you.
Jesse the Legend, I made it out of Milton, says Friend Repellent on X.
Nice.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's cool. And Wayne, I am that I am. Hi, Jesse. Jesus did call us gods in John 10:36, referencing Psalm 8:26. If we are little g gods, then he was a little god. He was God. Aha! What say you?
There's a difference between a little god and God. What the? Amazing. Thank you.
And thank you, guys. I do believe that that is all for now.
Amazing. Wow. Brian from Texas, will you call me tomorrow? I want it so badly to get to your call. Run.
Yes, sir.
Can you call me tomorrow? I so badly want to get to your call.
Yeah, I'll call you.
All right, thank you, buddy. I am so out of time. Emmanuel, first time caller, I am so out of time and the rest of the call. But I'll be back tomorrow. The Lord is willing. It's Open Line Friday. Get it off your chest day tomorrow. Also, the Hake Report is coming up now. Like, really, really a radio voice. And I'm not kidding. She was right about that. When she said it, I'm like, yeah, it's so true. TheHakeReport.com from 9 to 11. Then Joel Friday TV. He black. Joel Friday TV. And after that, the American Anchor Baby at 4 p.m. The American Anchor Baby. Get on that straight and narrow, folks. Watch those thoughts. Do nothing about them. Don't believe them. Just watch them. And the light of the Father will take over. He really will. It'll take over. All right? Forgive your mama. Forgive your daddy. And you shall be forgiven. Then you can honor your parents, respect them in the right way, and not feel so obligated to them. I am out of time. I'll be back tomorrow. Amazing Bible Thumping Thursday. And thank you all for the super chats and the support. And both. Thank you. Bye. So I asked the question, are you better than a child molester? I've discovered over the 30 years of counseling, the one thing that's missing, and I think because it's not taught in the homes or talked about, we don't have examples of it, right, is love. Our theme this year is to bring back Christianity, to love God with all of our heart, soul, and might, our neighbor as ourselves, and to endure. And there, when you're in a fallen state, people will judge the molester but think they're better than the molester. And I ask, well, why do you think you're better? When I realize it doesn't matter what you think about yourself or how much you have or don't have or how you accomplish things in life or don't, if you have no love, you have nothing. I read or heard that some Republicans are starting to pull their advertisements from Google or whomever, right? Because so many conservatives are being shut down, discriminated against, shadow banned, and all that kind of stuff. So conservatives are starting to fight back. It is happening to us, too. I'm just taking it one day at a time. But you can go to jlptalk.com and find all the ways to support us. You can check out rebuildingdemand.com and support our nonprofit organization. You can call 800-411-BOND, 800-411-2663. And don't forget to like, subscribe, follow, share, and Sunny. And also, we have thefallenstate.tv. Ring the bell.